Hey, good morning. Glad everybody's with us. I'll get over here on the panel. We still got people coming in this morning, but welcome to Faith Springs Baptist Church. And we want to make sure we're up on Facebook. I don't even know what I've done with my phone. But if y'all want to let me know.
I just saw it was on Anna's desk.
Others. If you want to let me know that you're on, and you still got people coming in, so we'll start singing here when I know that we're up and running. So, anybody on their phones yet this morning? Good morning. Good to see everybody. We were set up like this morning because yesterday we had a wedding in here. And it was set up this way, and I thought, you know, this would work. And I like keeping y'all wondering where you're going to sit. Okay, so we have people saying they're here. Okay, good. All righty. I would prefer to be here than any other place in town, to be honest with you.
Me too.
Yeah. Got a full house?
Morning.
Morning, Esther. She's fashionably late. Esther Avalos. Just want to
put that out.
Let's just sing a few songs and we'll take a break. We'll have a prayer request. And I think I have some that you all should know. So I'm live around the world. She just wanted to get on camera, I think, once for sure.
It worked.
My favorite song. Here we go. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? Well, a lot of stuff. But because we have him. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms.
Run by one.
Let's open up with prayer. We got some prayer requests. We just want to lift up the people that first of all, I want to thank the church for what Esther had the idea. I don't know if it was her idea or not, but thank you, Esther and Gilbert, for wanting to help and hearing that there was a semi-truck leaving downtown Houston at Lakewood of supplies to go to Louisiana for all the, you know, praise God. I kind of joke about, and I know I shouldn't joke, that, hey, we didn't even get a drop of rain. I praise God we did get a drop of rain because some people got buckets and more. But it was just awesome how you guys gave from your hearts in a short amount of time, the supplies that you did. And we may do that more often because that was just a good feeling, was it not, to be able to help somebody else out. And thank you, Gilbert and Esther, for taking it on over there. But everybody that gave and came by the church for those supplies, thank you for that. We want to also always lift them up in prayer, what they're going through. You all have been there, done that, so you know what they're experiencing. So we want to lift them up. Pray for Carl and Amber. They got married yesterday, and that was a nice little family wedding, and we just want to congratulate them and the man's. And it was just a wonderful service we had yesterday here. Trying to think if there's anybody else we need to lift up. I know Archie is going to have the batteries changed. Joyce, I think that's September 1st. That's Tuesday. So start praying for Archie and Pat right now, and Tuesday that's going to happen. But lift him up too. And if you haven't got one of these on your way out, make sure you do. And the prayer listed on there. We want to remember everybody that's listening to the got people in Australia and Germany and all kinds of places.
The Lanners want us to uplift Pearland School because they start in-house school tomorrow.
So okay, so Pearland actually has in-house schooling tomorrow. So pray for them because a lot of schools around the nation are experiencing a couple of days of that something happens. We'll just pray protection on our school, our teachers, our kids, and then Pearland too. That begins tomorrow. So anybody else mention? Okay. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the blessings. Lord, thank you for your spirit, your protection, your grace, your mercy. Lord, when we sing the little Sunday school song, it just reminds us how much you love us. Lord, all the ones that we mentioned, all the ones, Lord, we may have forgotten, didn't verbally mention. We want you to surround your presence around them and put your arms around them. Let them know we're thinking of them, praying for Jesse and Erlene and Doris and Jean and so many others, Lord, that are home and dealing with things. Lord, with Randy and we want to continue to lift him up and praise you for the answered prayer. Lord, we want to lift up right now our teachers, our school in this wonderful town, the students that are going to be going back into those hallways, Lord, and we just ask that you protect them. Lord, the kids and the parents and the teachers that are in this building, in our school, touch them, give them wisdom. May they see love radiate from those teachers and staff like they never have seen before. And Lord, protect them. Protect our folks, Lord, as they come and go and they wear the mask or they don't wear the mask and just the places. We just ask, Lord, that you just be with our city, our church, our community, our state, Lord, our country, and this entire world. What's going on, Lord, we don't understand, but we know you are in charge and we lift them up to you. We open up your word here shortly, Lord. We just ask that it speak to us and we learn something and take something, Lord, that we can take into the week with us. Give us that faith, that encouragement that we need. Because, Lord, there's a whole bunch of people in this world searching for hope. And, Lord, we have it because it's found in you and you alone. We give you that praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, let's see now. righty, we can have the deacons please come forward. A few of them, anyway. It's a good looking group here. You guys look good.
There's several cords walking across the place, gentlemen, so just be careful. We want to just thank you for your support and your giving and your love and the different ministries they go to. Just thank you for that continued love and support. May God bless you as you give. And may this be part of your worship. Sometimes we like add this on and it's like, that's what not what this is all about. This ought to be part of the praise. Lord, thank you for taking care of me. I don't think anybody had a hitchhike to get here today. I don't think anybody slept on the street last night. If it did, it was probably by your own choice. I don't know what you're out doing last night, but anyway, that's another story. We're so blessed. And this is just a way to give back to God what he's given us. Jack, I'm going to ask you, Jack Gazelle, if you would just bless the offering, sir. Have a good place.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you boldly but humbly, Lord. Just thank you for who you are and thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to watch over our church as we go through this building thing and this virus is out here, that you would protect our members both here and the ones that are home. Lift up those that are sick and needing healing. And Lord, we just lift up this offering, and we ask that you would bless it, that we use it as good stewards, and that it be used to reach out and give the good news to those that don't know it. Those things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am ever hope to be. Sing along with me. To God be the glory. To God. Let it praise God for what he's done. Boy, he's done so much for us. I love you, Lord. And I live. This one, because it's just one word. Just close your eyes and for maybe one time in your life, praise him like you mean it. Sing to him like he is really what you're singing in this next verse. He's my Savior. Simple songs today, right? Every now and then we complicate stuff. I don't know about you, but we get, you know, I think when we ever get to the place where before the service we have to break out the smoke machines and turn the strobe lights on and get the synthesizers going, fire me, okay? I personally like
Hallelujah. Jesus loves me. Does it get any better than that? I mean, I just love that stuff. And not that I don't like the other stuff. I don't want to, because I'll get all kinds of emails. Between you and me, most people out there don't realize you're wasting your time emailing me on. I'm hard-headed. Hey, good to see y'all back there. How y'all doing? Good looking group. Jerry, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing. I'm here.
There you go. That's half the battle. I don't know if you know yet, we're in the book of Jonah. Not yet, but we're getting close. We didn't make it all in. You know, last week we got him to where the well was commissioned.
Making his approach?
Yeah, he was a dun-dun. Dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Remember that? I watched that the other night, Joe. We're going to do, this is a different message. While you're finding Jonah, hope you're there. If you're there, say, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Anybody not there, say, wait up. Okay, we got a couple. I, 2 o'clock this morning, I was just sitting in the recliner, and these are thoughts that came to me while I was reading the scripture. And I put the other message away and just want to share some thoughts with you. I want to tell you the story. So I hope you're all there. Jonah 1, chapter 1. Let's just read it. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, next week, we're taking a pit stop. We're going to get this man inside of the well today. Then we're going to leave him in there for a while. Next week, I'm going to preach the one sermon that you have to hear during these times right now. The end is near, and you don't want to miss that one. That came on me. I'm ready for this one. It's something that every Christian, every person ought to hear, because what's happening in our country, what's happening in our cities, what's happening in our world needs God, and they need to hear this message, and we need to hear it too, because you're hearing the wrong message, folks, and we're going to give that out next week. The end is near, and I just, that was all free. That was a free commercial. So go ahead and charge me for that, Don, if you would. Okay. Okay, so we're gonna keep him in the well. So let's get him in the well today. Arise and go to Nineveh, all that. Verse 3. But Jonah arose and went to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I got a feeling, I'm not in geography, but I got a feeling they're not next door to each other. It's like the Lord saying to me, Greg, go to Houston. And I get in the car and I head towards Dallas. Number one, why would anybody want to go to Dallas when you can go to Houston? I don't understand it. Especially the Texans against the Cowboys. Are you kidding? I'll go to Houston 10 times over. Thank you, Gilbert. That was for you. But Jonah arose and went to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went, here we go. I want you to notice all these downs. He went down, 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 down. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid. This is where I slipped out of my recliner last night. He paid the price. He paid the fare. That's what we're to come back and eventually get to. Okay, so if I start chasing a rabbit, somebody say, what about him paying the fare? Okay. And then we'll help you out. That remind me to keep on track. Because I have all these notes, but this is what I'm going for, my yellow Sharpie, for my orange Sharpie here. He paid the fare and went down. Let's see. I lost my place.
He rose, went to Tarsus with the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarsus, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. How many times already? Twice he said he's going away from God. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. I want you to see as we read this, how many times your versions, your scripture, say something about God being active in the story. There wasn't a Frank Billingsley saying, I tell you what, it looks like there's some turbulence going on in the Gulf. And we're all watching it, and it may just come up. This is God saying, I see a man that I want to change his life, and him sticking his finger right in that water at that time. He created the storm. You with me? He created it. Where'd you see this? But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, and the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid. Every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in his ship and in the sea to lighten the load. And we talked about that last week. But Jonah, going down again, Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, laid down, and fell asleep, just like a few of you are this morning. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? I like that. Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God, big G, will consider us so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know the cause, who's the cause of this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots. They played the lottery. They're on the ship. And the lot fell on the sleeper, Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us, for what cause is this trouble upon us? Listen to the questions. What's the trouble? What's your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? They're going down the list of the interview. Who are you? What are you? Where are you? Who's your people? Who's your God? What's going on? So he said to them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? The men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. It was just being ornery as all get out. That's the Williams version. Tempestuous. I don't think I've ever used that word. Kind of tempestuous. How do you even say it? Tempestuous. Tempestuous. It's kind of tempestuous out here, isn't it?
Tempestuous.
Yes, tempestuous. I've never used that word before. It was getting hairy. And he said to them, pick me up, throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, and we talked about this last week, the men decided to throw off everything else. Now, I don't know about you. I wouldn't have had a deacon's meeting. I wouldn't have had a business meeting. I would have said, grab his ankles, I got his elbows, and let's go. He's in there. Boom. I wouldn't second guess this. But they decided to throw away everything. Okay? Nevertheless, the people, the men rode hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood for you. O Lord, have done as it has pleased you. So they picked up Jonah,
threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord. Because it's like, whoa, we are in the presence of God. Ever happened to you? Have you ever been in a situation where you knew without a shadow of a doubt God caused that to happen? And most of the time, we don't high-five everybody. There he is. I knew he'd show up. It's like, whoa. God's here. Like it surprises us. But it shouldn't. They feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord. And I don't know what your version says. They took vows. I don't know about you. They joined the church. They got baptized. They took communion. They gave up. They did everything. They wanted to be a part of that body because they saw the true power of God. That's what this community is waiting to find. That's what this world is waiting on, is for us to be able to stand up and show them who God is. And they will be waiting in line to join up too when they see the true power of God. And folks, fasten your seatbelts. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. God is setting up the storm. God, and we'll talk about this more about this next week, but he's setting up the storm. If you don't think he's in there doing this, you're crazy. He just, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this a little bit over here. And right in the middle of all this, I'll do this. What are we going to do in it? We're going to follow him, or we're going to run the opposite way? And the story gets interesting, if this isn't already interesting. Now the Lord had prepared. He did the wind. Now he prepared a fish. Now, I don't know about you. This fish did not start up as a guppy. It wasn't a sardine. That had been eating real good and superhuman food, super God food to get him the growth that he needed to have at this particular point in time. I think God did another creation. And I haven't been to the ark and that guy that does all the creation thing, but I like to do that. You know, that the guy, Jack, you and Teresa went to it. I think you guys went to the ark replica and all that. And, you know, the guy that does all the creation and evolution fight and all that. I believe God's word. God prepared a great fish. He may have, at that point, created that fish. And we're saying, it was a whale. I think it was a God ship. God knew what he needed. God knew the size. He knew the air conditioning he needed to have in there. He knew the smell that he wanted to have in there. He had everything just right. Not to make it comfortable, but get his point across to Jonah. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. What a story. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I was watching Swamp People last night. You ever watch this? Swamp People. These people go out and get these gators, these alligators, and they're in a boat. They're in a little boat. And they'll get out of the boat with nothing but rubber boots on and go over there and try to shoot the alligator in the spot that is only the size of a dime. The dead spot that if you shoot there, the alligator's dead immediately. These people are nuts. The best TV in the world. I love this. Because I'm sitting there going, whoa, whoa. And amazing what they do. 400, 500 pound gators. And look at this. For the great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's where we're going to leave him. We're going to leave him in there to marinate. We're going to leave him in there to get all smelly and gassy. Jonah bought the ticket for what he was up against, what he was getting involved in. I want to let you know, sin has one heck of a price that we will pay. If you're listening to me here, you might as well get up and smell the coffee too. Sin will always, and I love this saying, I wrote this down where I put it. Sin will always take you farther than you ever wanted to go. Sin will always keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. And sin will always cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. You may think it's a fine and dandy idea now, but there is a price to pay for sin. And Jonah said, I have a calling. He knew it. There was no doubt in his mind that it was God saying, go to this. I mean, God said, go. Get up. Get up off your backside and go. Go to that place. He knew. He heard the word. How many people that are sitting in here have heard the word, but we decide, that's not for me at this time. Oh, I'll wait until my kids are all out of high school and college. And then life will get better. Do you have any 20-year-old children? Life doesn't get better with them. Are you kidding? Life is good when you can change your diapers and give them a little Benadryl and put them to bed. You know, you have to give them this. My kids, I have to give Curtis this much Benadryl now just to get him drowsy. It doesn't get any better. But we do that. Oh, I'll wait till my credit cards are all paid off, and then I'll get with God. I'll do this. And you know what God's calling us to do. I want to let you know, between me, you, and the doorpost, there's a price to pay for disobedience. What is God calling you to do in these last days? And don't don't leave here going, he's just another one of those Baptists that thinks the world's coming to an end. No, I'm one of those people in the world that can see what's going on. We have to be getting close. Can you not see how the pieces of the puzzle started to fall in? Can you not see that all it would take now is literally one or two moves and the whole revelations and prophecy just falls into place? Just like that, we have never been closer than we are today. What are you running away from? Jonah had to pay the price. He paid the price, number one, as he disobeyed. He disobeyed in the choice that he made. He went away from the will of God. A lot of people consider sin is a sin of commission. I commit sins every day. A lot of sin that we don't even realize we are involved in, or let me break it down like a third grader here. You realize it, you just ignore it. It's called sin of omission. God's called you to do it, and you just don't answer the call. You will pay a price for disobeying him. And you're experiencing maybe now. Have I gone through that? Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. When God has a calling on your life, you have to answer the call. And no matter whether you're listening here, you're in this building, we all have callings on our life. What is it? Why are we running? Why are you so scared from it? I don't know. I would way prefer to be at home in God's will watching Swamp People than being inside of the fish wondering if I get cable in here or not. I prefer to be in God's will. But there's always a price for disobedience. He disobeyed by the choice he made. He disobeyed by the course that he took. He found a ship. Isn't it amazing that he found a ship so quick? How long would it take for us, if God says go to Houston, for me to find a car that's going to Dallas? I'm going the opposite direction. How long would it take for me to go over and say, hey, you go downtown, Charlie? Where are you headed? Charlie,
you leaving anytime, going on vacation anytime soon? Y'all going someplace? And it would take a while. Isn't it amazing that it was already there? It was already being loaded. It amazes me how Satan's ships are always set to sail when you want to hop on it. It amazes me on that. They're always ready. Oh. Let me see if I can find it here real quick. Write down Psalm 139. I want to read this to you. Psalm 139. Verse 7 to 12. We're actually reading a lot of scripture today. I love it. Between me and you, God's word's way better than mine anyway. Amen? I got 6 amens. Okay. Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be the light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Wow. No matter what ship you're on, no matter what course you take, if you don't take it towards him and what he wants to call you to do, it's called a disobedience in your course, a sin of omission. And we get involved in this. Get involved in this. I remember, I can't even think of the year because when you get so old, you can't remember. You know, isn't it amazing that the older we get, we say things like, well, the other day, well, that could be a week or two ago or 6 or 7 years ago. So that's, I'm at that age anymore. The other day, when I didn't have children, long time ago, because Matt's, what, 30 years old now, Chris? Wow. I had him, I was 3.
Yeah.
And, well, I didn't actually have him, but I was involved. I want you to know. And I was called to preach when I was 12. I really believe that I was, but I was running from him. And I was in the youth and music director world in Illinois, in Carbondale. And I was running still from being a preacher. I saw the behind the scenes stuff of what ministry can do. And if you don't understand unless you've been in ministry, you have wounds on your body and your spirit and your soul unless you've been in ministry. And I didn't want that because I saw the ministers that I've served under and the stress that they had. It's like, I don't want to do that. Are you kidding? So I told God, I pushed the envelope. Give me a son, and I'll give it up to you. I don't know if I ever told Matt that story, but I remember when Becky came home and said, I'm pregnant, I remember going, oh, Lord, I hope it's a girl. But God proved, and just as soon as I found out it was a boy, I let the church license me to preach, be ordained, the whole bit. And I started preaching, and I knew that that's what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life. But I wanted to run away. I didn't want to commit to what I knew he wanted me to do. We all do this. You all have something in your life that you're being asked to do. And I think the ministries are going to be so vast after we're out of this COVID area. And we may not be. There may be other waves and of other stuff. There may be a new swine flu or all kinds of stuff may come through on this. But there's going to be a whole bunch of people, whole bunch of families, whole bunch of kids that's going to need God more than ever. And we need you to fall into your role, into your calling, to make sure it is there for them. Because they're looking for hope. And God says, I want you to get up. I want you to go to this city because they need me. He says, no way. And he heads the other way. And he gets stuck in a fish. The second thing I want you to see, he not only paid the price as he disobeyed, but he also paid the price as he dozed, as he slept through it. Verse 6. Back in Jonah 1. Captain came and said, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us that we may not perish. He was sleeping. But the kicker of that sleeper is he was not only sleeping physically. He was sleeping spiritually. And we get that in our life too. How many of us, maybe, and you don't have to raise your hands, how many of us have been asleep for quite a while spiritually? How many have been in that ball game before spiritually? Anybody? Or am I the only one? We've been there. We played the game. So he wasn't only sleeping physically, he fell asleep spiritually. Ezekiel 33:6. I hope that's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 33:6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Folks, we're in the latter days as we gear up for next Sunday's sermon. We have to be not physically asleep or spiritually asleep. We have to be awake to tell this community and this world by this little machine, by BBS Radio, by Faith Springs, by In His Steps, by the Pearland Homeschool, everybody that comes into our presence, that the nightman is coming. He's coming. The swordman is coming. He's getting ready to go to the dead wood and cut it and throw it into the fire. And we need to start telling people it's coming and it's coming soon. We have to wake up to what the world is handing us and stand up and go, we are unified in one message. And that's not to promote me or the building or our people or as Baptists. Are you kidding? Is there one Baptist preacher that you want to put any of your life on the line for? Are you kidding me? Wait till tomorrow's paper and see the headline. Another one will fall. Wait till probably a couple weeks after that. It'll be me. It'll always be somebody. The only thing that we can put everything into is God Himself. Stop promoting that we are the only ones that have it right. We're the only ones in Nashville, Tennessee, is where the Lord is coming again. We're not doing that. We got to stop that kind of mentality. We got to talk about love and hope and Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. Who was it? Paul that said, oh, all I know, I'm not a very bright man, but all I know is Christ died for me and he rose again. That's all I know. And that's the kind of hope that we need to give to this community in our world now. And start getting hung up on what flag is flying above our door. It's about Christ now. It's not about religion. It's about Him. And He was sleeping physically. He was sleeping spiritually. And He paid the price as He was dozing. Last one, and I'm done. Besides that, I'm getting winded. Has anybody else put on a couple extra pounds? And then you get out of your chair and you're winded getting out of your chair. I want one of those new chairs that lift you up. So I don't even have to shift my weight. It'll just put me on my feet. But I'm thinking about moving the refrigerator within arm's reach.
That and a porta potty, and I got it made. I'm getting winded here. But one more. He paid the price as God disciplined him. Verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Things happen to us in our life. I don't think, but maybe we're wrong. I don't think I'm going to be out waiting in Galveston on the beach, and a big old fish is going to come up and swallow me, and then me live inside it for 3 days. I don't think. I mean, nothing's outside of God's will, God's ability. But there's other wells in my life that God prepares for me. It could be that moment of decision. It could be a parent. It could be a spouse. It could be a child. It could be a friend. It could be a circumstance. That's the well that God has prepared for you to get inside of and wake up. Because he disciplines us when we get outside of his will. I've been there. And I don't know why anybody would want to be there. I want to be covered in that rock. What is that song? He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock. And he covers me there with his hand. I want to be covered by him. And that only happens when I'm in his perfect will. Will you obey? Or will you just pay the price? What will you do? God brings his children back. Last verse in Luke. And we'll close with this. I promise. You always know those old-fashioned preachers. In conclusion, and that's about 35 minutes ago. In conclusion, this is my last verse, I promise. Luke 15:7 goes like this. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just people who need no repentance. Are you being obedient, or you want to pay the price? Are you willing to stay in the lifestyle that you're in the disobedience that we get caught up inside it, and pay the price? Or be jet better just to get right back in God's will? Because it's amazing. Not only did God, as we find out in 2 weeks, not only did God prepare the fish, God told the fish where to go. And God told the fish when to get sick. And God told the fish when to puke. And he told the fish where to puke him out on. And I wonder where it was. We'll find out about that in a couple weeks. Dear Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, there's so many people that's listening. So many things in my own life that I just go, doggone, and I don't do it. Lord, I don't want to be disobedient. I want to answer every call. I want to stand in front of you one day, and it may be soon. And Lord, you say, Greg, why didn't you answer that one? I gave you all the tools. It was already done. All you had to do was respond. That person was in the elevator talking to you about having a bad day, and you didn't share me? Don't do that. Lord, a lot of decisions in life right now. A lot of people online that's watching that needs to hear hope. And I want to end the hope in the message here. That even though Jonah is inside of the fish, God created that fish and protected Jonah all through that three-day ride. Kept him somewhat safe. He was in control. Lord, may we not be disobedient. May we be found faithful. May our homes start putting outside on their doorpost, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." It's time we stand on the one thing that is for sure, and that is your word, the almighty truth. We give you the praise and the glory. Let the word grow roots in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for coming. Thank you for joining us this week on Faith Springs Live. Be with us next week at 10 o'clock for another edition of our church service. Welcome. Have an awesome, awesome week. Make sure you listen tonight. We have a good show tonight, Breaking the Silence. He's a teacher from Connecticut that's going to be with us tonight, an author and a teacher. I'd love to have you join. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Have a good day.